Tonight's shiur in Parshas Ve'era, brought to you by Shpachat Weinblatt, Le'ilui Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Actually, starting from the end of last week's Sedra, lead into it, end of Shmos, where it says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Ata Sire Asher Esel Pharaoh. Now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. So Rashi says over here, now you're going to see Hashem had a tine against Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "Your heart, Almidosai, you're questioning me." When I said to Avram Avinu that, "Oh, you're going to have a son." And then next thing you know, I told him, "Halei leola," and lo yirhata acharei midosai. He didn't question me, didn't say anything. Lefikach atatira. Therefore, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you complained after I sent you. Said, "Oh, look what since you sent me, only bad has happened." Moshe Rabbeinu said, "So he says, so Hashem says, "Fine, and now you're going to see what I'm doing to Pharaoh, but you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael and see what I'm going to do to the seven nations." So it's an interesting question and answer, and that is, L'chura, what, and Abraham, we don't find questioning Hashem? Okay, by the Ikei, they didn't. But what about, for example, the episode with Storm? Hashem says he's going to destroy Storm. So what does Avraham Avinu say? He questions Hashem. And he says, "Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat." He says, "What are you doing, Hashem? How could you do that? Don't you, where's the mishpat over here, right? There's Be'er Tzadikin. How can you do such a thing?" He's questioning Hashem. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, after this, you think he learned his lesson. I mean, Hashem said, "How could you question me?" Later on, Kisisa, also, after Chet Ha'egel, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? "Lama Hashem yechareh apcha be'amecha." Joseph says, "Meretz Mitzrayim, how can you be angry? Lama, why Hashem? Why questioning Hashem again? What's going on?" So from Rav Tzvi Liebman, he says there's a difference. Difference is between questioning Hashem before or after. That's the difference. Questioning Hashem before, that's okay. Meaning before Hashem does something, question, why are you going to do this? Perhaps it's even like a form of tefillah. "Please Hashem, don't do this," or whatever. That's fine, before the fact. The problem is after the fact. So Avraham Avinu, when it was messed up, Hashem, he said, "I'm going to destroy Hashem. Where? Don't do it, please. Shofet kol ha'aretz, etc." And also, when Hashem wanted to get angry at Klal Yisrael, before that, Moshe said, "Lama chayecha re'apcha? Why are you going to get angry?" Before, you can question. But after the fact, that's what's possible. So Moshe Rabbeinu over here, "Lama erosa mazel, lama shechtan," was after, why'd you do this bad thing? I came to take them out, and all of a sudden things got worse. Questioning what Hashem does. Medayik, that's what in the Rashi says that, "Lo hir acharei midosai." Acharei means like after. After the fact, you're not allowed to question Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, let's get into the Sedra now. Pasuk Tes says, "Vayidaber Moshe Kein al Bnei Yisrael," that he came to them, told them he's going to take them out of Mitzrayim, etc. And lo shamu al Moshe mikotzer ruach mi'avodah kasha. But he didn't listen to Moshe because of the kotzer ruach avodah kasha. So, question is asked, since when, here, imagine a guy sitting in jail, and you come to him and you say, "You know what? I have good news for you. In a couple of weeks from now, you're going to leave," or whatever. Now, what do you think his reaction is going to be? "What are you telling me? Leave? Forget." The guy jumped for joy. "What? I'm going to leave?" Why? I'm going to leave. They're in servitude for so many years, 210 years. Finally, the Savior coming, going to say anything. What's the shot? So the Meshechachma says that that's the nature of a person. When a person is in a very bad matzav, he can hear about the here and now, but he can't hear about the future. He just can't hear it, right? Isn't it? It's such a bad matzav that Klal Yisrael are in. You tell them, "Come on, let's go." "Okay, fine, great, let's go." But you're telling them, "But you're going to be freed shortly. Don't worry about it." It's the future. A person in a bad matzav can't see the future. A rem is here as well, another answer to the question, that why weren't they listening? The Mikotzer in Gematria is 430. So they're supposed to leave from the latest Yitzhak, they're supposed to be in Galus for 430 years altogether. And they heard that now Moshe's coming, you're going to leave. They said, can't be. We're supposed to be 430, it's only 210 years. So they said, it can't be. So Mele, that's the idea, that they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu Mikotzer, because of 430. Mikotzer Ruach Mi'alachachra. We're supposed to be here 430 years. That's why they thought it was too early. Another remez, Chasam Sofer says, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, says, Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, Aaron ben Shloshu Shmonim Shana, Bedabram El Paro. So Moshe was 80, and Aaron was 83 when they're speaking to Pharaoh. So Chasam Sofer said, if you take the years of Moshe, which is 80, and Aaron, which is 83, 80 and 83, it's 163. That's the same gematria as Etzpa. The other one of the three Ro'im, besides Moshe Aaron, was Miriam. Right? Miriam, she was, Miriam in gematria is 86. 86 represents the vote of kasha, the most serious of the servitude was 86 years. That's also the gematria of Elohim, Minas Adin. Miriam is called Miriam because of the Miri root, the bitterness that they went through, this 86 years of bitterness. So Moshe and Aaron is Etzba, and Miriam, Minas Adin, also Elohim, is 86. So therefore, after the Kinim, so Paro said Etzba Elohim. This is Etzba Elohim. This is a remez to the Etzba, which is Moshe and Aaron, and Elohim, 86, Miriam, which were the three Roim. It says in the Pasuk, in Perikhes, Pasuk Yud Dalad. It says, "Vayasu kein achartumi b'latehem lotzi etakinim lo yachlu bati kinam ba'adam v'behema." So the interesting chizkuni here, perhaps not the pashupsha, but he says that's what happened. We had this is the third makkah, right? First comes dam. So Moshe does the makkah dam, and what happens? The chartumim of Mitzrayim said, "We can do that too," and they also make dam. So what happened? Pharaoh saying to them, thank you very much. I have enough dam. You also have to make dam. There's enough blood around. Now, you can make blood. I don't need more blood. Make water, maybe. Not more blood. Fine. Then comes Tzvardeya. Moshe brings Tzvardeya. Says the Chartumim, we can make also frogs. Watch this. Again, Paro's saying, you crazy? We don't have enough frogs. You also have to make frogs. We don't need more frogs around here. So finally, they got the hint. So along comes Kinim, so they said, if we make Kinim, Paro's not going to be too happy about us again. So therefore, he teaches that this is different than Pashup Shah. But Yasuf Kena Chartami Balatahem, Lohatsi at the Kinim. This Pashup Shah has been said, they also wanted to take out Kinim. But they said, no, Lohatsi could also mean to get rid of. So this, they said, no, we got smart. We're not going to make more kinim. Pharaoh's going to kill us again. So therefore, we will say that they tried to lohotzi at the kinim. That Pharaoh will be happy about. Let's take them away. But they couldn't do so. And they said, that's Beloki. It says, Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Amar v'yavo arov kinim b'chol gvulam. Before she asked, it's funny, what came first? Kinim and then Arov. So we had Kinim and Rebbe. Yet the Pasuk says in the wrong order. It says Arov and then Kinim b'chol gvulam. It should have been the other way. First in Kinim and Arov. So the Magi Midubno answers as usual with Hamash. He says there was a wealthy guy that was making a chasana. So he made a chasana in all pomp and circumstance. And then came Shabba Brachas. So he had an idea. He didn't want everybody to come. He wanted to make separate day Sheva Brachas for different people. So he decided the first day he's going to make the Sheva Brachas for just Avrichim. Avrichim, Bnei Torah. Second day he was going to make Sheva Brachas for his friends. And the third day he was going to make for his family. And he told his Mishratim, people work for him, he said, I want you to make sure though that people, they stick to their groups. I don't want somebody, everybody has to come only on their day. Fine. So first day the Avrechim came, Yafet. Second game, make sure all the Chaverim came, friends, good. All of a sudden the third day, the Mishpacha came. And one of the servants said, hey, wait a minute. We we've seen this face before. Aren't you an avreich? He said, yeah. Well, you were here the first day. Don't you know the rules here? You can only come, you know, on your day. You were here ready the first day. He says, that's true, but I'm mishpach also. Mishpach, you know, so the third day is all mishpach. I happen to be an avreich, but I happen to be also mishpach. So Mele answers Magen Yehuda, the same thing over here. Yeah, the kinim came first, right? Then came the arov. And then Paro said hey, wait a minute. He saw kinim also. He says, that's not fair. You guys were here before. What are you coming again? He says, mishpacha, you know, arov, all the wild animals, everything. We're part of them also. So, animals. Okay, it says, by the arov, the pasuk says, Paro was warned, if you don't send the people, I'm going to bring the arov. They're going to fill the houses. So before Shem are bothered by what's this, the arov going to come, and also the land that they are on. What was that supposed to mean? So there's a famous gra. We'll just start with that. That the gra mentions there's this certain creature called the Yidoni, and it's attached to the ground. It gets its nourishment. It's attached to the ground. Looks like a person, but it's attached to the ground through its umbilical cord. And it's a wild, crazy animal. And if you get anywhere near it, chops your head off. You can't get near the thing. So how do you kill such a thing? So you have to, from a distance, shoot its umbilical cord. If it gets this attached from the ground, then that's it, no problem. But you can't get near it otherwise. So Hashem wanted to bring this creature, part of the Arov, you know, the wild animals, to Mitzrayim. But a problem, right? Because it takes them to Mitzrayim, you can disgrace from the ground, they'll come dead. You know, it's not going to work. So therefore, Hashem had to bring the ground with him, you know, like a flower plot, you know, kind of in the ground. So, he had to come with the ground that he's on. That's the ground. The Maharal Diskin says that there's a chazal that says if a dog comes to a new city, for 7 years it doesn't bark. In other words, it has to get used to its environment. That's the, you know, before it starts being a wild dog. You know, it's the first person, it's like, you know, sheepish, you know, quiet. And then eventually it gets, you know. So too over here, Hashem wanted to, you know, bring these animals, but they're not going to be very wild because of new Mitzrayim, you know, we were never here before. It's going to take them 7 years. Them didn't want to wait 7 years. They wanted to bring the Macha right away. So they had to come with Kiilu, with their environment with them, so that they feel at home, so they could bark right away and do whatever they do right away. Similarly, a very similar pshat, the Panim Yafo says, based on the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara there brings the Maisa with Elisha Navi. Right? He went to this town, and they had their water supply was affected, contaminated, and he cured the problem, and the water was good, fresh again. But there were these people, the Narim they're called, that they were selling, you know, Ein Gedi water and bottled water, and they're making a killing. And now all of a sudden they lost their parnassos, they weren't so happy with Elisha. And it says that as Elisha was leaving the town, these young men came out and they made fun of him. They said, Alek Kereach, he was bald, and they made fun of him. So Elisha wasn't going to take this city down. So what happened? All of a sudden, a nace happened, and these bears came out and devoured them all. So the Gemara in Sota says, Machloikis, whether it was a nace or a nace betoch nace. So one opinion says, Lo dubim have velo yar have. It was a double miracle. There wasn't a forest, and there wasn't bears, and a nace happened, and Elisha made it that there should be a forest and there should be bears. And as the expression, if you guys are familiar with Hebrew, as expression that you want to say to somebody in Ivrit, you want to say, what you're saying is ridiculous, never happened, it's garbage. So you say, lo dubim v'lo yar, right? No such things. It's expression, that's where it comes from. Right? There's no forest, no bears. So the Gemara explains, so why do you need the forest, though? Well, nace of the forest, we need a forest. Forget the bears, and kill the bears. Why do you need the forest? More explains, because the bears will only attack if they're near their habitat, where they normally live. They leave, and then if they can't run back to where they think, they're not going to attack, because they're scared. But if they know, they can attack and run right back, so then they'll attack. So Mela, they had to have, there's a nace that, besides the bears, in order to kill these guys, you know, they had to have their yar, where they live, next to them. So, double miracle, there was a yar and the bears. So based on that, so the Panim Yafa is the same thing over here, similar like we saw in Bemaral Diskin, right? That Hashem wanted to bring all these animals, but they're not going to attack unless they have their home or next to them. So what did Hashem have to do? Besides bringing all these wild animals, v'gamas adama sherala, he had to bring also the land with them. So can you imagine? Here we have the polar bears. So Hashem had to bring these freezing Antarctic weather to Mitzrayim. And to bring the snakes and scorpions, he had to bring the Sahara Desert to Mitzrayim. And etc., etc. All the jungle, you know, for all these jungle animals, to bring the jungle to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a crazy place. He had the Antarctic and the jungle, and it was crazy. So that's the Gamat Adama Sherala. With that, we can also understand the pasuk better now. The pasuk says that to b'chol ha'aretz Mitzrayim tishachet ha'aretz, destroy. Why destroy? You can imagine all this going on with the desert. It would destroy the Goyim. It also, and it can answer another thing, right? That Paro called it to Moshe Aaron later on, and he says lechuz divchu le'elokeichem ba'aretz. Says go serve your God in the ba'aretz. It means here. It's very strange, because Moshe explicitly said, we're going out to the Midbar. So what is Paro saying? You know, okay, after this he says, okay, go serve, fear your God, Ba'aretz. What, Ba'aretz? I didn't ask for the Ba'aretz, I asked for the Midbar. Teretz is, the Midbar was there, right? You had to bring a Sahara to bring these snakes and scorpions. It was there. The Lukubar, you might as well go. You want to go to the desert? The desert's here. It's what here, right? Okay. Okay, it says Perek Tes Pasuk Vav. Okay, it says by the Dever, when the animals died. Let's find it here. Okay. V'yas Hashem es ha-davar hazeh mimacharas v'yamas kol miknei Mitzrayim v'miknei b'nei Yisrael lo meisachat. So Hashem brought this miraculous plague, then the animals died, and all the Miknei Mitzrayim died, all their cattle, but the cattle of Bnei Israel, lo meisachad. None of them died. What happens? Next pasuk, Vayishlach Paro, v'nei lo meis mi Miknei Israel ad echad. He saw that the ones of the Jews didn't die. You know, Hashem said, you know, the Egyptians are going to die, the Jews are not going to die. Paro saw that he didn't die from those of the Israel. Vayichbad le Paro v'lo shilach zayam. So they asked, well, what's going on over here? Why? The same passage says he sent and he saw how the Jewish ones didn't die, which also Hashem said was going to happen. And he saw that it's true. And he goes, no, that's it. I'm not sending him. Why is that a reason not to send him? Left? If that's what Hashem said was going to happen, it happened. He should. It's something there. Told them now. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm not sending them then. Why? That's what Hashem said was going to happen. So, one answer, the Admor Migur says that Paro was a big guzzler. He was a thief. Okay? So, he came and he stole the lot of the behemoths of Kaiser. So, Mele, Hashem said that they're going to die, you know, that the Egyptians are going to die, all their behemoths are going to die. Fine. Vayishlak Paro v'nei lo meis v'miknei Yisrael ad echad. And he said, wait a minute, none of the Jewish mikneh died. Okay? Lo meis mi mikneh Yisrael ad echad. Right? So what happened? Because he went to his, pastor, whatever, the refit, where they keep the animals, and he noticed that they didn't die. Right? So why didn't they die? Because they were Miknei in Israel. He went to check his corral or wherever you call it and see all the, hey, wait a minute, this one's alive and this one's alive and this, he said the Egyptian cattle's gonna die. They didn't, look at all these what? Yeah. You know why they didn't die? Because those are Miknei Israel. Very, very smart, Paro. Those are the ones you stole from Israel, they're there. That's why they didn't die. But he looked at it, hey, they didn't die, so that's why he gave him reason to harden his heart and he didn't send away the Jews. Okay. Also, with that, we can answer from explains in Parshas Bo that says Moshe said to Paro that he wanted to leave, and he said, "No, you can't take your cattle." He said, "No, you're not only," said Moshe, "you're going to even give us things to sacrifice, and the cattle to sacrifice." So, question is asked: what do you mean, Moshe? You want Paro's animals to sacrifice? They're avodah zarah, right? They offer, they sacrifice, they bow down to the tlet. Okay, the sheep. And why is Moshe saying to Paro, "You're going to give us your things, you know, your animal"? Why would Moshe want them? They're avodah zarah. Teretz says Rebbe Migur, because they're really Kal Yisrael's animals. He stole them. He says, "You're going to give me your animals," quote unquote. They're really their animals. Mela, that's why. And even if they bow down to them and use them, they can't know sadavar, she no shalom, and they weren't his bechlah. So therefore, they. Time. Okay. Leif Shalom, Rav Shalom Shvadron, a very nice word here. And he asked, first of all, that same question, you know, why did all of a sudden Paro, you know, because he saw that the cattle of Kal Yisrael didn't die, and he goes, "Oh, that's it, I'm not sending you away." He asked that question. Plus, he asks another diuk in the pasuk. It's a change in the lashon. It says, "V'yas Hashem es adavar zeh." Fine. And "V'yamas kol miknei Mitzrayim." They all died. And then it says, "Mikmei b'nei Yisrael lo meis echad." Lo meis echad. None of them died. Lo meis echad. Next pasuk that we saw, "V'yishlach Paro v'nei lo meis miknei Yisrael." When he went to check it out, sure enough, they didn't die. But there it says, "Lo meis miknei Yisrael ad echad." So here it says this, lo meis echad, and they're not going to die. And when Paro went to see what happened, he saw, oh yeah, they didn't die, ad echad. So why the extra word, the ad echad? So he answers based on the Midrash. The Midrash says, in fact, what is this ad echad? What's the pasuk telling me, this extra word, ad echad? So he says, the Midrash tells us that it's to bala rabot. That what didn't die? Even an animal that was owned by Shutfus with a Jew and a Mitzri, let's say they were partners, so it was partially, you know, Mitzri, but that didn't die either. Okay, all the, you know, the Jewish cattle didn't die, the Mitzri did die. What about what was half and half? So it also didn't die. Adechad means including even that one that was a Shutfus. So Mimele, with that, we can answer this question. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, again, he said two things were going to happen, right? All the Mitzri, their animals were going to die. The ones from the Jewish were not going to die. Two things were going to happen. Fine. So then Paro comes out and he checks and he says, "Hey, wait a minute. This is, you know, it was a half-half, right? Owned by a Jew and a goy." He says, it didn't die. And that's it. V'yichbad et libo. That made it. Now we can understand. We ask why all of a sudden he sees that the Jewish ones didn't die. V'yichbad et libo. Yeah, because it was half Jew, it was half Mitzri. So I was half Mitzri. So you see, he says the craziness. My person, you know, runs after his tithes or whatever he wants. He doesn't think clearly. He's totally off his rocker. Why? Okay, Paro, wake up a second. First of all, putting aside everything else, all the other behemoths, all the Mitzrayim died, all the Jewish ones did not. This chetzi, okay, maybe let's say that for some reason there was a, you know, quirk over that didn't die. But everything else, come on, Paro, open your eyes. No, number one. Number two, even this one, Nachon, you're right, Paro, you're right. It was half the Mitzri didn't die. But it was also a half Jewish. So, anyway, it's going to be a stira. If it would live, then there's a problem. Congestion is going to die. If it would die, then something's got to go one way or the other. Right? It's a stira. So, Mele, what did Hashem do? In order for, you know, to benefit the Yid who owned his half, he kept it alive. He could have killed it. Well, you got to do one thing. So, Paro, you know, couldn't see. He had a kasha. Oh, I have a kasha on your Moshe. This half didn't die. Ridiculous kasha. This makes no sense. Says that's unfortunately the way we are. We ask kashas that are, we're not thinking clearly. Brings a very interesting maisa that happened the days of the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was older, already an old man, and yeshiva in Radin. So there was a group that was called the Poel Tzion. Like the Tzionim, they wanted to, you know, they're totally fry. And they used to send out these literature, you know, propaganda, you know, against the Torah, against this, whatever. And the yeshiva Bachram in Radin, they were, you know, very upset at this things that they were sending out, these alonim, these. So they one day decided, okay, we're gonna do something about this. So what did they do? They knew this the printing shop was printing up these things, which are going to be starting to give out the next day. So they went that night, they broke into the printing shop, they took all these stacks of things that were just printed, all their literature from this group, and they schlepped it back to the yeshiva, and behind the yeshiva they had this big oven, whatever, they threw it all in the oven and burnt it all. Okay, wonderful. So what happens? The next day, you know, they come to get their literature, it's not there. So they said, must be those yeshiva bachurim, you know, it's gotta be. Who else could it be? So they started looking, they went to the yeshiva, started snooping around, and unfortunately the boys didn't do as good a job as they were supposed to do, and it wasn't all totally burnt. They saw, you know, pieces here and there, and right in the oven that wasn't burnt, so they knew exactly what happened. So that was it. They were upset. We said, we're gonna go to the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, the Chavetz Chaim, we're gonna give it to them. You know, there's a chutzpah like that. So a group of boys, from them, they go into the yeshiva, says, where's the Chavetz Chaim? So he's over here. Fine, he comes into him. So one of them was the more, you know, more chutzpahdik of the other ones. He says, that's it, you know. And he's about to scream at the Chavetz Chaim. And just as he's about to give it to him, all of a sudden, he stops. And he looks like weird. Something's going, something's, you know, looks like he's being overtaken from Dibbuk or something. And he mamish like goes crazy, right on the spot. And he runs out, and he runs to the Yam, and he goes on a boat, and he jumps off, commits suicide. So, people heard that, and everyone's like, oh my, wow, this is unbelievable, right? So, what happens? The tzionim or whatever got word of this. So what did they do? They sent out, they wrote in this newspaper or whatever, a thing against the Chafetz Chaim. They said, can you imagine this guy, Chafetz Chaim? He wrote these books on not to speak Lashon Hara, Avas Yisrael, and look what he does. He makes the guy go Meshuggah, and he curses him, and he curses him as this Bachur, makes him go Meshuggah, and he kills himself. That's called Avas Yisrael. So, Rav Shvadron said, "You see, the crazy. The people don't, you know, like they're not with it. They get involved with something. Don't see clearly." He says, "Hello, I mean, if any one of us would see the guy wants to say something to you, and you, I don't know, think or say something, you think the guy's going to go crazy, go on a ship, jump off, and commit suicide? No, Elamai, how did it happen?" Obviously, Hashem listens to this rabbi and he answers his feelings. He's obviously a very holy person. If he can just like give you a whammy and gemar, if that's what, you know, what. So therefore, if Hashem's listening to him, so maybe you should listen to him too. Maybe he's doing the right thing in this world, you know? No, obviously, Israel, come on. Obviously, he's somebody special if he can do such a thing. Again, Ben, people don't see things clearly. So he writes at the end of Sipur, I was not, it's just a side, you know, postscript, but he says, Chavetz Chaim got word of this, so he wanted to, you know, answer back and not let this go unanswered, you know, this attack on him. So he was very old, he couldn't even write himself, so he told us, to one of the Talmudim, he says, I want you to publish this fall, I'll give you the wording. So he says, okay, so he says, I want you to write the following. He says, first of all, that they accused me of cursing this boy, he said, Chas v'chalila, I never in my life ever cursed a Yehudi, a Jew. Never. Number one. And about the second thing, about that this guy, you know, he went crazy because of what happened, he went crazy around and committed suicide, he said, that's 100% emes, and that's exactly what happened. And he says, and you know why it happened? He says, I'll tell you why it happened. In other words, Lman Yishmu v'yirahu, in order that people should learn that you don't mess with Yeshiva Bachram. That was his message. Okay, finally, last word. And with this, the Makas Barat says, Vayomir Elav Moshe, Kitsesi Yaseir Efros Eskapai Elashem, Bakolos Yechdalun, Babarad Lo Yeod, Leman Tedu Ki Lashem Haaretz. So after Moshe said, I'm going to daven, go outside the city, daven, so there will be no more Barad. And Rashi here comments that what does it mean he said, I'm going to go out of the city? Why do you have to go out of the city? Why not stop in there? So Rashi says, "Ketsesi esayir min hayir." When I go out from the city, v'abatoch hayir lo ispalel. Why? Lefishai tam leyag gilulim. Full of vordazar says, "I can't daven in here, so I'm gonna have to go out." So the Chanukah Satorah says, "What was that supposed to mean?" Right? Until now, Moshe Rabbeinu, like he always no. It's the first time we're told that he left. What about all the other times? We do here, davening the Shem, this and that, whatever. Never says he left. All of a sudden now, oh, he woke up, there's a vote of Zari, I have to leave. Why didn't he leave until now? Dam Sfardi, Akini, Ma'ar, Devashem, right? Why didn't he leave until now? So he says, because what's this the vote of Zara? When these idols, there, we said before, was this the sheep, the Tleh, was there a vote of Zara? So, in Moshe Rabbeinu, where do you keep Tleh? You don't keep him in your house. You keep him outside in the pasture. So Mele, the Vodazara, which was these animals, they were always out the pasture. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to leave because the Vodazara wasn't in the city. So why now? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said by the Bara, and he told them, warned them, he says, if you want your Bara to be saved, you have to bring it into the city. Only those that are in the house are going to be saved. Anything outside in the pasture are going to be killed. So, not okay, they didn't all, but some of them, you know, the Sadiqim, quote unquote, you know, they brought their animals in, so shouldn't get hurt by the bar. And now the animals are there. Moshe Rabbeinu at the dummy. So now the Avodah Zarah is here, and they say they have to leave. Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zoicha to the Gula Shlema that we've seen in these, we're seeing in these parshas, be Mehira, be Amen.